today on Path of Grace.
But imagine being the clay. From your perspective, all you know is that you're being slapped around, you're being pounded from all sides, and with all your heart, you want it to stop. You wonder, why is this happening to me? You may want to scream, get your hands off of me. You don't realize that the hands that are on you have a beautiful plan for you and for what they're shaping you into. And remember, the potter already sees the finished product, which is something beyond what you, a piece of clay, have ever imagined or seen yourself being. And then after what seems like a senseless beating from the perspective of the clay, it's then placed upon the potter's will. And the clay is probably thinking, oh, some rest, what a relief, the beating is over. But in reality, the process has only just begun. The wheel begins to spin.
It sounds of lightning all across the sky. It sounds of rain to a land that's dry. It speaks with thunder and a mighty roar. There's no one else like the mighty Lord. There's no one else. He put the stars up in outer space and hung the sun and moon in perfect place. Spins the planets, let the comets soar. There's no one else like the mighty Lord. There's no one else. He's the king of creation. He's the all-powerful one. Nothing compares to him, nothing. He's the apex, the firstborn one. Turn the sea and make it boil.
One of the pictures that the Bible uses to describe your relationship with God is that of a potter and the clay. The Bible tells us that God is a potter and we are the clay. All of us are the work of his hands. He is fashioning and forming you and me for a purpose. And the more I've thought about that word picture, that illustration lately, the potter and the clay, the more I realize it is the perfect picture. In Jeremiah chapter 18, God wanted to help the prophet Jeremiah understand just how intimately and intricately God was working in and with the nation of Israel. Jeremiah says, "The word of the Lord came to me and said, go to the potter's house and watch the potter work the clay. And when you're there watching, you're going to hear a message from me." And so Jeremiah goes to the potter's house and he starts watching the potter work the clay. And the particular vessel the potter was working on, he had it spinning on the wheel and it was marred. And so the potter turned it into something else. He started totally reshaping it just as the potter saw fit to make it. And as Jeremiah was standing there watching the potter work the clay, here's what God spoke to Jeremiah. And here's how it's worded in Young's literal translation. "As this potter, am I not able to do to you, O house of Israel, an affirmation of Jehovah? Lo, as clay in the hand of the potter, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." So speaking of the entire nation, God says, just like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. In other words, God was at work, God was shaping, God was forming, and ultimately God would accomplish within them exactly what he saw fit to accomplish. He was going to accomplish what he had set out to accomplish from the very beginning. In Isaiah chapter 45, it talks about the same sort of thing. Paul talks about the same thing in his letter to the Romans, that God is the potter and we are the clay. I remember growing up learning some very pretty songs about God being the potter and we being the clay and God taking us and molding us and shaping us. And this is what we're praying, God, just mold us and shape us. And it sounded very poetic and it's very beautiful. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever worked with clay? Or have you ever watched a potter take the clay through the entire process? Have you ever imagined yourself as the clay in the hand of the potter? See, the potter has a vision for the vessel that he is fashioning. He sees the finished product in his mind before he even starts. He knows what that lump of clay truly is. He picks up the clay then, and depending on the moisture level, he may start by dumping it into a bucket of water to let it soak overnight. And imagine being the clay. There you are. You've been very comfortable Things have been nice and easy. Life was good. You were just hanging out, being clay. And then suddenly these hands grabbed a hold of you. They pick you up. They plunk you down into this bucket. And what a shock. The water might be cold, maybe stifling. You feel alone. From your perspective, it's all over. You're drowning. If this continues, man, there's no hope. But the potter knows exactly what purpose it is serving for you to be thrown into the water. He knows how long he's going to keep you in the bucket before he ever puts you there. And he knows exactly what this part of the creative process is going to accomplish. And then just as suddenly as the clay was thrown into the bucket, it's lifted out, plopped down on a table or on the floor, where the potter then begins to knead the clay. He pounds it down. He applies huge amounts of pressure, pushing and squeezing and punching and sometimes beating on the clay. Not only to work the moisture evenly through the clay, but to work all of the air bubbles out of it so it won't create problems in one of the final parts of the process. But imagine being the clay. From your perspective, all you know is that you're being slapped around, you're being pounded from all sides, and with all your heart, you want it to stop. You wonder, why is this happening to me? You may want to scream, "Get your hands off of me!" You don't realize that the hands that are on you have a beautiful plan for you and for what they're shaping you into. And remember, the potter already sees the finished product, which is something beyond what you, a piece of clay, have ever imagined or seen yourself being. And then after what seems like a senseless beating from the perspective of the clay, it's then placed upon the potter's will. And the clay is probably thinking, "Oh, some rest, what a relief, the beating is over." But in reality, the process has only just begun. The wheel begins to spin, and then there's another new and frightening sensation. You begin to get dizzy, you can't focus, your vision is blurred, you become nauseous, and then suddenly you feel the pressure. Those same hands that had just beaten you down, apparently for no purpose, at least from your perspective, those same hands, which had seemed so brutal, are now upon you, and they begin to squeeze, they apply pressure, and you feel that everything about you is being pressed out of shape. It hurts, yet the pressure continues, the spinning is relentless, and then the thumbs of those hands start to press in from above, and the fingers on the side continue to apply pressure, and a hole is formed. You are being opened up. Being stretched. What is happening to me? This is scary. It's painful. Again, you scream, "Why are you doing this to me?" You may even start screaming at the devil, "Devil, get your hands off of me!" Suddenly, seemingly in response to your cries of agony, the pressure stops. The spinning continues. You think, okay, a bit of relief. This has got to be it. Whatever this is, whatever's been going on, it's got to stop now. I can't bear it anymore. I don't see what purpose that could serve. I don't see what good could come out of any of this pressure and this poking a hole in the top of me and all this spinning. And I think, is it slowing down? I hope it's slowing down. No, it's not slowing down. You're still spinning, and the potter reaches out and he picks up a tool, knowing exactly what needs to be done to form this pot, this vessel, this vase, into something absolutely beautiful. He takes this tool and he gouges into the side of the clay and he begins to cut away. And you're saying, "Why do you hate me so much? Why do you hate me? Why would you do this? If you cared, you would stop." But because the potter does care, and he sees the end of the process, and he knows that no matter how painful it is in the present, ultimately, you're going to be thankful, realizing that it's all working for your good, because you're being shaped into his masterpiece. You can't see it yet. You can't imagine it yet. You have no idea why he has to take you through this process in this way, and the cutting continues. You're never able to adjust to the pain, and then more pressure is applied. And after what seems like forever, the spinning begins to slow. Try to catch your breath. The spinning finally stops. And through tear-filled eyes, you, the clay, you blink a few times trying to clear your vision, and you look across the room and you see a mirror. And in that mirror, you see a beautiful vase. You notice that there are tears running down the side of that vase, and you realize, that's me. Those hands, they were doing something good. That whole process, it seemed to make no sense. It was forming something beautiful out of me. And as you reflect back, you realize there was no way that that formation could have taken place without you going through all that you had gone through. And thankfulness begins to fill your heart, gratitude for the potter doing what he has done. And you say, I am so glad that is over. But then just as those words have left your lips, you feel yourself being lifted up. And very gently, you're carried into another room. You're like, oh, this feels good. This is nice. These hands are so gentle. These hands truly are good. Down a hallway you go. You feel the temperature rise a little bit. Oh, this gentle warmth, this feels so good. I feel myself warming up. Oh, these hands, they love me. Suddenly a door is open. You don't know what it is, but it's the kiln. And you see some flames. You wonder, what is this? Where are you taking me? Why are you doing this? What have I done to deserve this? I thought you loved me. I thought you were good. You're not good. Why are you doing this? Why do I have to go through all of this? Please stop. But unrelentingly, the hands place you directly in the heat. And the door is closed. And you think, I've been left alone to die. Why? Why would he have taken me so far to abandon me? Why would he have allowed all of this to happen? And then to abandon me here in these flames? What purpose has any of this served? I thought the potter had a plan. I actually was beginning to think that the potter loved me. Now, as we've kind of imagined ourselves as the clay, and Father being the potter, have you seen any correspondence to your own life? Now, we know, and I'm not going to go a lot further with the illustration, that the kiln is a necessary part of the process. Once the clay has been fired, that pot has been fired, it can now become something useful. Not only is it beautiful, but it's useful for some purpose that the clay could never, ever, ever imagine during the process. Listen, my precious friend, we are in the potter's hands. But we aren't finished yet. And this lifetime that we're living right now in these mortal and corruptible bodies, we aren't going to see the finished product. And we can't even imagine the finished product. And there are going to be things that come into your life and things in my life, painful things. Things that will cause us to cry out and say, why? Why must this happen? And we've got to remember that our understanding at this point is not much better than the understanding of a piece of clay going through the process on the potter's wheel. We haven't seen what we will be. Now, in our last study, we saw that the Apostle John says we are going to eventually be like him. We will be like Christ. Paul teaches us that one day this mortal will put on immortality, this corruptible will put on incorruption. One day we're going to be resurrected. We will be like Christ. We aren't there yet, but in the meantime, God is doing these things, shaping us like a potter, shaping and molding the clay for a purpose that we can't fully understand. But in the meantime, you know what we need to do and encourage one another to do and help one another to do? To trust, to have faith, to remind one another that our potter's hands are the hands of one who cherishes us, and who has a plan and has a purpose beyond what we can imagine, and that ultimately we will see it as beautiful. Yet again, from our perspective, so much of it right now makes no sense. It might even seem at times that we or other people have slipped from the potter's hands. But the potter is never going to allow us to slip from his hands. The Bible teaches us that no one can snatch us from the Father's hands. And as the master potter works the clay, as he works on us and in us, he is working all things according to his perfect plan. And he will accomplish within us exactly what he has set out to accomplish, just like the master potter accomplishes what he sets out to accomplish with a lump of clay. Now, let me give you a few passages to jot down that are either going to bring you great peace or disturb you, depending on where you are in your walk with the Lord. But I want to share these with you so you can kind of think about them, meditate on them, look them up on your own time. First is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. And as I look at these passages with you, I want you to keep in mind this picture of Father being the potter and we are the clay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. It tells us, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." Those first few words are mind-boggling. All things are of God. Think about the potter and the clay. All things that the clay went through in the process were directly of and from the potter. All was of the potter. And Paul tells us that all things are of God, and God is the potter. We are the clay. Now, the whole thought of all things being of God, that is a hard pill to swallow. Could Paul, when he wrote those words, have possibly meant that truly all things are of God? There's no way. All things can't be of God because my life has been filled with pain and sorrow and heartache and grief. I have failed. Other people have failed me. People have hurt me. I've hurt other people. So much of what happens in life seems senseless. That could not have possibly been anything according to God's plan or God's will or from God. It's got to all be the devil, and it's just got to all be us and our fouled up, messed upness and all of these things. It can't possibly be. Paul was being a fool when he said all things are of God. It was a typo. That's what it is. Paul didn't mean to write all things are of God. He meant to say some things are of God. Well, let me give you a few other passages where Paul makes the same basic point worded a bit differently. Romans chapter 11, verse 36, Paul is speaking about God, our potter, and he says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Listen to that again. "For of him and through him and to him are all things." In the process of spinning and being pressed and squeezed and cut, the pot may not feel compelled to give glory to the potter, but in the end, we will. Listen to that verse in its entirety again. "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." All things are of God, for him, through him, and to him. And he's going to be glorified in it. Another verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. "There is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we in him." Wow. There is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things. That word "all" is huge. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12. The last part of the verse tells us that all things are of God. All things? Yeah. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 tells us that we have been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. All things, listen to it again. We have been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Think about the potter. He has a purpose for all things he does with the clay that he is forming. Every step in the process has a purpose, and it is being worked according to his will. From the perspective of the clay, it makes no sense. It's just agony. It's painful. But one day, we'll understand that Romans 8:28 is true. Another verse for you. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, speaking of the Lord, it says, "For whom are all things, and by whom are all things?" Again, let me ask, was Paul being careless when he used those words? Was it a typo in every one of these passages, or did he mean what he said? Was he saying this to us to try to encourage me and encourage you to know that we have a faithful Father, a potter who's not going to let us slip through his fingers, a God who has a plan and a purpose for all things, and that we would, no matter how painful the process, realize that he is working things together for the good, even if at times, from our perspective, we can't imagine how it can be for the good. Just like clay can't imagine how the pressing and the cutting and the firing could be for the ultimate good. In his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul, speaking of us as believers, he said, we are earthen vessels. We are clay vessels. He's reminding us that God works with clay. That's what he's got to work with, us, dirt. Why dirt? He tells us why. God's working with earthen vessels, clay vessels, dirt vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. He goes on and says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes. Think about that. All things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Now, when we're finally raised up, then we will see what Father has made us. We will be like Christ, and we are going to be thankful even for the most painful things we have gone through, because we're finally going to understand how Father was working in it and through it, because all things are from him and all things are for our sakes. Paul goes on in that same passage and says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, think about Paul saying light affliction. Paul was beaten multiple times. He was thrown into jail, beaten up some more. A mob stoned him and left him for dead. He was shipwrecked. He went through times of near starvation. And he says, it's light affliction. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Well, I think in our next several studies, if the Lord wills, I want to look more at this topic of God being at work in all things. God being the potter, we being the clay. It's a huge topic, and I think one that, if we grasp it, will take us to a place of greater faith, rest, and peace, regardless of our circumstances. My name is James Flanders, and I am an earthen vessel, a piece of clay, a marred vessel, a vessel that is still taking shape ever so slowly. The Father, the Master Potter, is patiently working and very often painfully forming. In the midst of it, I know I'm just like you. There is a lot I don't understand, and I find myself asking why very often. But I do know that ultimately I will see and understand that all Father has done, all Father has allowed, has truly been for the good. And ultimately, all things are from him and for him and to him. And it's for our good. My hope is that you and I will grow to rest in the process we're going through, and to grow in our faith to the point of truly experiencing peace, knowing that in all things Father is faithful, and that our light affliction, like the clay in the potter's hands, is but for a moment, and it is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Be blessed, my friend. Be blessed.